Fantastic. Hey, if you haven't met me or haven't heard me preach before, my name's John, and with my wife Emma, we're the assistant pastors here. And so with Pastor Bruce and Julie over in C3 Church, Casey in Melbourne, you've got me this morning, and it's going to be good fun. And so as Phil's already mentioned this morning, we're focusing on prayer throughout this month. And as I was thinking about prayer, well, let's go back and have a look at how prayer has influenced the church and how prayer has influenced people. And so as I started to think about that and started to pray about that, I was taken to this scripture in the book of Acts. And it had a fairly big influence on the church. If you know much about the church, basically the church started in a prayer meeting. And you Google or look at any sort of historical facts about where did the church start, they point back to this moment in time. And so we're going to look at Acts 1 and 2 and kind of jump around there a little bit this morning. And so if you've got your Bibles, open them up. We're going to kick straight off in Acts 2, verse 1 to 4. And it says this: when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. And so to stop right there, it's so easy to grab that one little piece of scripture at the start of Acts 2 and take that for what it is, but it doesn't have the original writings of the Bible, doesn't have chapters, doesn't have verses, doesn't have little titles above it. So the title in the Bible here that I'm reading is "The Holy Spirit Comes at Pentecost." And so we read that, and we often refer to that Pentecost Sunday, and being a Pentecostal church, we often bring it back to things back to that, but the title isn't there. Chapter 2 isn't necessarily there. It's the scripture there. And so to get the context of what we're talking about, they're just, when the day of Pentecost came, it's like, well, what happened before that? And so when we go back in time, 50 days earlier, Jesus has died on the cross. He's then risen again. 40 days. let me get my facts right here before I just start going that. So he's died, he's rose again. For the next 40 days, he continued to hang out with his disciples and just continued to teach them and minister to them and answer their questions and just pray with them and be with them. And so Jesus is with them for the next 40 days. And then it says in, where are we? Acts 1, 12 to 14. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. They stayed there until then. This next scripture that I read just before, the Message version says, so they left the mountain called the Olives and returned to Jerusalem. It was little over a half a mile. They went to the upper room they had been using as a meeting place. Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, Judas, son of James. They agreed they were in this for good, completely together in prayer, the women included, also Jesus' mother Mary and his brothers. And so we read that little bit, and so we've got Jesus dies, he rises again from the dead. He spends 40 days hanging out with the disciples. They take a leisurely Sabbath day stroll of half a mile, which, depending on whether that took them a whole day or whether that took, they were then in the upper room praying for 9 to 10 days before the day of Pentecost came. And so you've got a prayer meeting for 1 hour in our church. And I don't know about you, but do you sometimes struggle to come up with words to say. All right, or maybe in your own prayer time at home, and you revert to praying in tongues, right? Not sure what to pray, so we revert to praying in tongues. Anybody else? Or no, you're just going to leave me out here hanging to dry. Fantastic. Thanks a lot, friends. You guys are amazing. I love you all heaps. But it's like, when I read this, and when I read this again, and was reading this throughout the week again, it dawned on me, I'd never seen it before, but it dawned on me, a 9-day, 10-day prayer meeting with no speaking in tongues. I don't know, it might have just been me that's just worked that out this week, but I've kind of read it and gone, yeah, 9 to 10 day prayer meeting, that's a good effort. But then to go, you know, an hour long prayer meeting, imagine coming to our hour long prayer meeting Wednesday the 22nd in a week and a half's time and going, all right, we're not going to pray at all in tongues, it's going to be speaking in English, we're just going to speak words to God. We're not going to use the gap fillers as we so often use them, is kind of what I call them and what I use them for when I'm not sure what to pray. It's like, let's speak in tongues. Okay, I wonder what was being prayed for at that prayer meeting. I wonder what they were doing at that prayer meeting, whether they were praying constantly, obviously sitting down to eat, whether they had little stations of time, and so they had a station here and they were praying for their friends, and they had a station there and they were praying for resources, and they had a station there and they were praying for their leaders, and you moved around, or did they just stagger things across the days and across the times? Did they all break for meals at the same time, or did they make sure that there was someone, as the word says, they constantly were in prayer? So did they have a group of people there and then they went downstairs to eat, or they went into the room next door, or they just sat there and ate while other people prayed watching them? Or what did they do? It's like, oh, I don't really know. It doesn't go into that much detail about what they did, but I just start to read this and start to think about the actual practical side of things. A prayer meeting for that long in the upper room of a house, like bathroom breaks. They didn't leave the upper room for, it's like, okay, no, they surely had to. So it's not, we're not going to get it too literal when we're reading it, but it's like, as we're reading through it, it starts to mess with my head a bit about what the disciples were going through and what they were doing, and the intent of it and the purpose of it was awesome, but it's like, it just starts to blow my mind the more I think about it and try and unpack it. And so they left the mountain, we said that bit, verse 14. They agreed they were in this for good, completely together in prayer, the women included, also Jesus' mother, Mary and his brothers. So they were in it for good, completely together. That's the message. The NIV says they all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus and his brothers. The Passion Translation says all of them were united in prayer, gripped with one passion, interceding night and day. Which is what makes me start to believe that all there was potentially staggering it through, so that there was always someone praying through this time. The Amplified says all these with one mind and one purpose were continually devoting themselves to prayer, waiting together along with the women and the mother of Jesus. The English Standard Version says all these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer together with the women. So what is corporate prayer? What does a corporate prayer meeting look like? It looks like this. If we combine the different translations, which help us to understand it, help us to unpack what that is, a corporate prayer meeting is coming together in unity, in one accord, with one purpose, gripped with one passion. And I read that and I went, you know what, when we come together to pray corporately, it doesn't really matter what we pray for, as long as we're on the same page. And so we have someone leading a prayer meeting. Why? So that they can direct where we're going. So they can direct where the meeting's going, where the flow of it's going. And our job, my job, if I'm not the one leading the prayer meeting, your job, if you're not the one leading the prayer meeting, is to get behind that person 100% and start praying, believing with them and what they're praying for. And I started to think about it and going, you know, I've got my own prayer times throughout the week when I pray for my life. I pray for my finances, I pray for my family, I pray for my job, I pray for my connect group, I pray for the things that are affecting me, pray for my thoughts, pray for my thought life, pray for all sorts of things to do with me. But when I come to a corporate prayer meeting, I don't go and sit down in a corner and think about, well, I'm going to spend this time to pray for my job because I need a breakthrough. Or I don't come and think, oh, I need to pray for my finances, or I need to pray for this family member, and so I'm going to do that in this time at a corporate prayer meeting. The reason I walk around, pace at the front, and stay not sitting down is because the moment I sit down, I do start to think about me. The moment I sit down, the moment I move away from where it's happening, I start to think about my own needs. But when I'm at a corporate prayer meeting, I'm not trying to think about my own needs. I'm trying to think about, what are we praying about? We're praying about connect groups. Okay, well, I can pray for my connect group in that, but I'm going to pray for the connect groups, all the connect groups. Okay, well, we might be praying about the worship experience of our church. Well, I might be praying about my worship experience, but I'm more focused on praying about the worship experience of our church. And so the whole deal of that is, well, I'm not coming in and going, okay, this is my 1 hour of prayer a week, so I need to list off all the things on my prayer list. No. I leave my prayer list at home and I focus on what's being prayed for, because that's what they did here. They might have had a time when they were praying for Peter, but they were all praying for Peter together. It wasn't just two or three off in the corner praying for Peter and the rest were doing their own thing. No, they were all united in one accord, one focus, one vision, one single-minded praying together. And so I started to think about this and started to think about some times in our prayer meetings that have impacted me and influenced me. And there's one moment that I always go back to in this, and it was probably the first time I experienced it in a prayer meeting, and wasn't a whole church corporate prayer meeting. It was a prayer meeting that we had at youth one night at Nathan Norell's house, back when Norell was running youth and I was helping her with Edge. And I think back in those days it was Nathan Cox and the Toma twins, and Jane was potentially there as well, and Chris Datto and a few other of our now oldish young adults. They're kind of, you know, almost old, but not quite. But it was back in the day, and we had a time of prayer. And it was just the most epic moment in prayer that I can remember. There was Nathan, if you know Nathan Cox, just think of Shane and Jenny combined on steroids, and you get Nathan Cox. And it's like he was just going for it. And if my memory serves me correctly, it was the moment that he and a couple of the other of those guys that I mentioned before started speaking in tongues for the first time. And it was a powerful, powerful night. And Nathan was just, all I can really remember is Nathan. And it was like running around, dancing, so excited by the fact that he had just started speaking in tongues for the first time. But why did he get there? Because we were focused on one thing. We were all praying, believing for one thing. In the lead up to the night, Narelle and I, as the leaders, and Narelle had been directing it, we'd been talking about it and working towards that and gearing up for that, and so we'd been praying about it. And so there was this momentum that was building, and then on the night, everyone there got around it. There wasn't someone sitting off on the side just going, well, it's not really my cup of tea, I'm going to just wait for my moment. It was everyone was involved in that moment, and that was the outcome. So think of a moment here in a whole church corporate context. And it happened to be a time when Kelly was in hospital. And the whole church was rallying, praying together with her and for her. And it was a moment right here, cleared the chairs out. I don't know what had happened that night, whether we had a conference here or whether we just went, let's just clear all the chairs out. But it was literally every single person gathering around. I can't remember who it was. It might have been, it was Heather, was it? Okay. So someone in the family was here. And so the whole, everyone that was here was just gathering around, and it just went to a whole new level. Why? Because we were those things. Coming together in unity, in one accord, with one purpose, gripped with one passion. Yeah. Yeah. See, at that moment in time, that night, the church was going, we're believing for a breakthrough. We're believing for a miracle. And I remember, I looked back, and I don't have it on my phone anymore, but I remember just ducking out of the group and filming it, recording it, and sending it to Callie. And it was like, when I was thinking about it during the week, it almost brought a tear to my eye, thinking about, like, it's a powerful moment. When we get together in one place, in unity, and we're focused on one thing in prayer, we can move mountains. We can shift things. We can change the scope of someone's life. We can bring healing into situations. We can bring restoration into situations. We can bring breakthrough into people's worlds. Why? How? Because prayer works. Yeah. Why and how? Because God hears us. And there's something about it when we're praying at home versus when we're praying united in a corporate context. So I love the fact that we can do that. So as I was thinking about that and looking at those moments, I couldn't stop it. Continue to read through the story in Acts, and when we pick the story back up in Acts 2, towards the end, and so they've been praying, and then Peter gets up and starts speaking. But we pick it up, what did I just say? 41 to 47 of Acts 2. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Just stop right there after that. It's like, what were they doing? Were they going out into the streets and inviting their friends? Were they going and having coffee and connecting with people? Were they standing up in their classroom at school and sharing the good news, or over the around the printer or photocopier at work? Were they in the staff room at work sharing it? No, no. No, what were they doing? They were in one place, in one mind, with one accord, praying together. They didn't leave. They were just there, and people came. And 3,000 people were added to their number that day. Continuing verse 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship of the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And so as I was reading this, I'm looking at it and I'm going, what an incredible template to build the church on. Right? It's where the church started. But we've come so far away from it. We've shifted our focus off of the prayer. We've shifted our focus, I think, at times. And as I was reading this, I know I've stood at the pulpit and gone, well, yeah, it's all well and good to be praying, but we've got to be going to do it. If we're not doing it, then we're not going to see the harvest. But as I'm reading this over the last week and a bit, and I'm starting to go, hang on. We can go and do it. The disciples went and did it. It says there, I just read it, that they went and they broke bread in their homes and they invited people and they preached the word. But what does it start with? What's it based out of? Not just an individual prayer life. It's based out of a corporate prayer life. It's based out of a prayer meeting where they were all together. It's based out of a prayer meeting where they came together and they said, right, we're in this for the long haul. We're not moving from this place until God rocks up. We're not moving from this place. We're not leaving until something shifts. We're not leaving until something happens. We need God to come through. And I started reading it and I'm going, I'm not forecasting or prophesying or anything that our Wednesday prayer night in a couple of weeks' time is just going to continue to go for a couple of weeks. We value people's time, and unless something radical does happen between now and then, we'll plan to be finished at 8:30 on that night. So don't be put off by coming because of that. It's like, if you don't get to work the next day, well, don't blame me. But I go, what are we doing? What am I doing? I feel convicted as I'm reading this to go, yeah, we can have all the strategies. We can have all the plans. We can read all the books and do all the courses on how to reach our friends, how to influence people, how to the correct technique in inviting them and asking them, and the correct way to get someone to alpha, and that's a great tool and we can use that. But if it's not underpinned by prayer, if it's not based and started with a foundation of prayer in our life, prayer in our church, not just prayer in our own life, but corporate prayer, then I kind of feel like after this week of just reading through this and praying about it, I kind of feel like if we're not going to do what the Bible says, we're kind of wasting our time. Right? And so what is the church? The church is praying together at the temple. The church. They weren't praying together. The disciples didn't, and the followers, it says there, where were we? Certain obsessions to break bread. Verse 46, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They didn't just meet together in their home to pray. They didn't just meet together at their workplace to pray. They didn't just pray in their own home. They came together to the temple courts. What's that? That's the church. What's that? That's right here. They came to the corporate prayer meeting at church to pray. They broke bread in their homes. That's connect groups. And they preached the good news and they saw people added daily. As preaching the word, that's extending the invitation. It doesn't just need to be preaching the word from the pulpit here. That's extending the invitation to someone to come and do alpha. That's extending the invitation to someone to come to a bonfire or a barbecue or something at your house that you can then just connect with them. But if it's not based out of prayer, we're missing the point. So as I was reading this, I started to ask myself and I, that's three of us. I do have a lot of split personalities. If you know me well enough, you'll know that. And so I do ask myself a lot of questions constantly. But I asked myself, how desperate am I to see our church grow? How desperate am I to see my family, my friends, enter the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven? As I asked myself and I started thinking about that question, I thought, I don't want to waste another day, another year. I don't want to wait another decade until one of my friends or one of my family members is on their deathbed and it's like that last gasp moment of you need Jesus and the invitation that comes with that. You hear incredible stories of that happening, but I don't want to wait that long. I want to get onto it now. And that's based out of prayer meeting. And as I'm reading this, I'm going, well, that involves you. Because if we're not in it together, then my family and friends aren't going to get saved. If I'm not in it with you, then your family and friends aren't going to get saved. And it was this home truth that came to me going, well, we need to be encouraging each other more than ever to get to a corporate prayer meeting. We need to be encouraging each other more than ever to go Wednesday the 22nd, 7:30 to 8:30, make it a priority. Because my friends, my family, your friends, your family's future relies on it. As I'm reading this, I'm going, that's the brutal truth of it. You know, we read it and we use it in tithe messages. The Malachi 3:10 scripture about the whole nation of you are under a curse because not everyone brings their tithe. It's exactly the same. There's some of our friends, there's some of our families, and the reason they're not saved yet, as I'm reading this, I'm going, the reason some of our friends and family aren't saved is because we don't have the corporate prayer deal down yet. When we get the corporate prayer bit down, well, we don't need to go out necessarily and ask them because they'll just come. They see the shift. They sense the shift. I don't know what happens, but 3,000 people were added to the kingdom of God the day of Pentecost without them leaving the upper room. People just flocked to the house of God. Can we see that happen here? Absolutely we can. There was 120 in the upper room. Imagine if we got 120 people. We normally get about 40 people, 40 to 50 at a prayer night. Imagine if we got 120 to our prayer night on Wednesday the 22nd, and then we walked outside afterwards and there was 3,000 just flocking. It was like Hand Off Chris Kindlemark all over, but in winter. It's a bad thought, bad idea. If anybody ever asks, we're not doing a Chris Kindlemark Christmas in July, okay? It's not happening. But it's like, how incredible would that be? The thought of that excites me. The thought of that goes, that's worth preaching about. That's worth praying about. That's worth believing for, isn't it? And so I really want to encourage you as we enter into our 10-day fast starting tomorrow to go, let's go there. Let's go there. The disciples and the 120 were in the upper room for 10 days praying, 10 days around the clock. It's like we're doing a 10-day fast. We're finishing it with 1 hour of prayer. Surely we can do that, can't we? Yeah. So our 10 days, just to give us a little bit of guidance, these will be posted on social media and we'll send them out through Connect Group leaders and WhatsApp throughout the next 10 days as well. But with Pastor Bruce has broken it up into 5 different categories and then each one lasts 2 days. And so there's 2 focal points for that. And so Monday and Tuesday, we're going to be looking at prepare the way. So we're going to be praying for Connect Groups and our Connect Group leaders on Monday. And then our church praying for our church prayer meetings on the Tuesday. Wednesday and Thursday are going to be future under construction. It's kind of a little subtitle there. And then Wednesday is going to be people God will gather into our church, praying for them. And then Thursday, people will have dreams and visions. Friday and Saturday, we're going to be the little subcategory, moving mountains. And so Friday, we're going to be praying for businesses, that businesses would flourish. We're going to be praying for employees, that they would prosper. We're going to be praying for abundance over the businesses in our local community and the people in our church. Saturday, we're going to be praying for healing, good health, and restored relationships. Praying for a good life, that's the theme for our men's conference, and so that fits in really well there. Sunday and Monday, we're going to be praying around the theme of arriving at our destination, and so we're going to be praying for new leaders to be identified, discipled, developed, and released, and then Monday for new locations, that they'd become obvious to our church. And so we've started to talk about that a little bit, predominantly since Pastor Mark Kelsey was here a month or so back, and just looking at the future for this church and where we're going, what we're doing. And it's okay, so if we can have a church here, the size we are, 278 people, call this place home here. If we can have another one down in the city somewhere or around somewhere else around the hills with another 270 people, then how incredible is that? And so just looking at what that looks like and what locations we can hit up as a church. So we'll join together praying about that. And I've just lost Tuesday. No, here we go. So then the last 2 days, finishing off with the old gives way to the new. Tuesday, pray about our openness to change. And Wednesday, pray for the next generations in our church and community. And so, as I said, we'll send all them out if you didn't get a chance to write all them down. But that's going to be exciting to join together over the next 10 days, praying and fasting about that. And I really just want to encourage you to get involved. As we said, Phil said earlier, and Pastor Bruce said last week or sometime this week, please do not attempt to fast everything for 10 days. Your body will physically shut down, and that would not be a good day. Ensure you have got at least water and some food at some stage throughout the 10 days. If you're going to try and go the whole hog, then go see your doctor and find out what to do in that regard. But get creative. At the end of the day, the fasting is about the discipline more than anything else. It's about directing us to prayer. And so if it's fasting the Xbox, because that's what is a big time consumer for you and a waste of time. Xbox is a waste of time. But it's like whatever it is, it's like fasting coffee. It's like whatever it is, just it's about that discipline of what am I going to get out of this? What can I do that's going to actually remind me to pray? What am I going to do that's going to remind me to pray? And so, whatever that is, might be fasting alcohol, it might be fasting soft drink, it might be fasting coffee, it might be fasting all vegetables. I was thinking about doing that, just fasting all fruit and vegetables for the next 10 days. It's basically my diet anyway, so I can't really do that. But whatever it is, it's like, give it some thought. Don't just go, oh, well, I'm just going to fast TV, but you only watch 20 minutes of TV a night anyway. Like, that's kind of pointless. And so have a think about it, pray about it. If you're not really sure what to do or you want some more conversation around that, then come speak to me after the meeting. Speak to your Connect leader this afternoon as well. But let's all get on board. 10 days of fasting, prayer and fasting, starting tomorrow, finishing on Wednesday the 22nd with an hour of prayer. Pastor Bruce will declare the fast over at the end of that. So if you want to do a full 10 days and you're a little bit thinking that way, then you might need to start at 8:30 tonight so that you can finish 10 days later at 8:30 on Wednesday. I'm going to start tomorrow and finish at 8:30 on Wednesday, but up to you. Whatever you want to do there. But Pastor Bruce will declare the fast finished at 8:30 on Wednesday night when we wrap up our prayer meeting. But that's just going to be amazing to do that together as a church. And I'm excited after reading through these couple of chapters in the Bible, excited to see what can come about after our church gets on board with this, after we get on board with this together. And so I really encourage you again, get on board. Do that. It's going to be amazing. But just as we come to a close and wrap things up this morning, we read it in the book of Acts. Peter stood up. He preached the word. He asked the questions. And people responded. Read that first day there was 3,000 were added to the church. So I look around this auditorium and I go, I'm pretty sure I know everyone here, but well, I do know everyone here, but I don't know where your heart's at. I don't know what this message has done to stir you up on the inside. And so I want to finish by asking the question, do you need to commit or recommit your life to Jesus Christ today? What an incredible start to a 10-day fast to just get right with God. So if that's you this morning, I'd love you to just give me a wave. Love to pray with you in a moment. To invite Jesus into your heart. to declare that he's Lord and Savior of your life. And thank him for walking with you for the rest of your days. Thank you, Father. Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for each person that's here. God, I pray that as we leave from here, as we enjoy a coffee, as we enjoy the afternoon with family, friends, whatever we're getting up to, God, as we head into this week, Father, I pray that you would bless us. God, I pray that your hand would be on us. God, I pray that you'd prosper us so that we can go and be a blessing to those around us. God, so we can be a blessing to those in the community. We can be a blessing to those in our workplace. Thank you, God, that your hand is on us. In Jesus' name, amen.